The epistle for this fourth Sunday after Easter is taken from the epistle of St. James, chapter 1. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren. But let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not depart, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine, and declare it to you. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, in 1978, a group of four businessmen got together and pooled their resources to found the chain Home Depot, Home Improvement Store. And the idea behind this chain was to provide homeowners with the possibility of getting the materials they would need to do their own work in their houses, to perhaps repair their houses or renovate their houses. One of the slogans of Home Depot over time was, you can do it, we can help. And if you think about it, this idea of doing it yourself, doing your own home repair, is quite attractive. First of all, you're definitely going to save money because you're not going to have to hire a contractor. But then also, it's nice to think, I'm not going to be dependent upon someone else to repair my own house. I'm not going to need someone else's work. I'll just do it myself. And in this process, I will enrich myself. I will perhaps gain some new skills, and I myself will be able to renovate my house. And this kind of go-getter, do-it-yourself spirit is an expression to a certain degree of the American character, of who we are. We're hardworking people. We're very much do-it-yourself type of people. It's kind of an expression of our American freedom. We find it liberating to do things on our own without having to rely upon someone else. And, I mean, there's definitely something to be said about that, and it's good in its proper context. But the purpose of this sermon is to tell you that that is not really proper in the realm of religion. The do-it-yourself spirit and the Home Depot spirit is not good in the realm of the Catholic faith. And I want to point out something that we always have to remember as Americans, as we're trying to live out our Catholic life in this world. And that is, we were born into a Protestant country. The United States is a Protestant country built on Protestant principles. Doesn't mean we can't live a Catholic life in a Protestant country, not at all. But it does mean that we have to be careful. We always have to be on the guard and make sure we do not develop a Protestant way of thinking, a Protestant spirit, as we're trying to live out our Catholic faith in our Protestant country. And of course, we work and we pray and we hope that one day the United States will be Catholic. I mean, it's never happened in the history of the world that the country founded upon Protestantism eventually converted to become Catholic, but it's certainly possible with the grace of God. And this is something, as I say, we have to pray for, we have to work for, especially by being good Catholics as Americans. But as I say, we have to be careful that the other thing doesn't happen, that we in ourselves adopt that Protestant spirit. So what do I mean by a Home Depot Catholicism or a do-it-yourself Catholicism? Well, you think about it, when you go to Home Depot, what happens? What's the purpose of you going there? You're going there to get some stuff for your house. That's why you're there. It's a purely business transaction. That's why you want to go there. So you go and you find your things, you pull them off the shelf, you go to the cash register, you buy you give the money, and you leave. When you go to Home Depot, you're not expecting to meet friends, make friends with the workers. You don't really care who works there, who doesn't work there. You're not wanting to make connections. You're not wanting to share your life experience with them. Let me tell you how things are going with my family and my kids and everything. Let's do a little bonding before I leave Home Depot. You're not expecting to do any of those things. It's purely a professional engagement. In a Home Depot Catholic is very much that way when they come to church. They're just seeing their Catholic experience on Sunday as a question of getting the material components that they need to renovate their soul and so achieve salvation. They say, I want to save my soul. So I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to go to Mass, go to confession, go to communion, put some money in the communion plate, and go home. And say my prayers at home. And I've got everything that I need to save my soul. So I've got all that I need to repair my soul, to renovate my soul, to take care of my soul. I'm a Catholic. I want to save my soul. So that's what I do. I check off that box. Soul is saved. Everything is good. Well, not really. Not really. This is a Protestant way of going about religion. And the reason why I say it's a Protestant way of going about religion is because Protestantism removed everything social about religion, everything communal about religion. Protestantism reduced everything to the individual. It made religion very individualistic. There's no more visible church. There's no more liturgy that everybody shares in. There's no more priesthood. And it's just you and Jesus. It's just your personal relationship with Jesus. And you accept him as your personal savior, and you're saved. And then you take the Bible, and you make of the Bible whatever you can make of it. You craft your own belief and your own religion, more or less, and you work your way to salvation. That's Protestantism. But that's not our religion, and that's not the religion that our Lord founded. Especially what we have to notice about the Catholic religion, the authentic religion founded by God, is that it is a supernatural family. Our religion, it consists of members of a mystical body, the mystical body of Christ, wherein through the grace that is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, we live the life of Christ, and we are connected with him. And because we are all living that same life, we are also connected with one another. We form one family, one supernatural family. And what we are meant to do is we are meant to share our lives together. We are meant to form a community where we live with one another. We live our lives with one another. It's not just a question of coming and getting the sacraments and going home and working out our salvation. It's a question of being part of a family, of a supernatural family. In today's gospel, our Lord is speaking to the apostles about the sending of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go, and then I will send the Paraclete. And the Paraclete is going to come, and he's going to tell you all things. So the apostles are going to be enlightened with this knowledge that they need to go and convert the world. And then they're going to go out, and they're going to go all around the world, preaching the gospel, converting people. And what's going to happen in each place that they convert people? We can read about it in the Acts of the Apostles and the epistles, especially the epistles of St. Paul. What happens? In each place, they form a community. And what they do is they start addressing one another as brothers and sisters. They consider that these converts to Christ somehow make them part of the same family. And that's why in Catholicism, we use family language to speak about one another. We speak of the Holy Father. Everybody calls the priest Father. When you meet a nun, you say, hello, sister. Or you meet a religious, you say, hello, brother, one of the monks from Silver City. We use this family language because we believe this reality that we are all connected in Christ, that we form one body, one mystical body in Christ. And by the life of grace dwelling in our souls, we are connected here below, and that is a certain foretelling or a certain living beforehand of the connection that we are to live forever in heaven. It's very touching if you read the epistles of St. Paul, the language he uses with regards to these other communities, and you get the impression that there was a network. There was just immediately a Catholic network that was being formed in the Roman Empire. It's particularly touching in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, but he gets to the end of the letter, and he's never been to Rome. He's never been to their actual church. But he's saying hello to them. He's saluting them. He's addressing them. He names 26 people by name. He says, say hello to this person, say hello to that person. And then he says, the people here also salute you. And he names them as well. Timothy, my fellow laborer, salutes you. He's writing from Corinth, so they're in Corinth. And Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, Caius, my host, and the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, salutes you. And Quartus, a brother. In other words, a Catholic. Even the secretary, this man Tertius, who's taking the dictation, he's writing the letter down for St. Paul, has to say hello. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. What do we observe in the early church? What we see is that the mentality of the first Catholics was not, let's get the church and let's get her done. Let's get the things that we need and let's go home and live our own independent life without integrating ourselves into a community. But no, they were forming communities where they were closely connected. They were close friends. They knew one another. Even across, when there was no cell phones or internet, they knew their names. When they were in different cities, different places of the empire. Why do we do this? Why is this the way our Lord established his church, his mystical body? It's because precisely this life is a preparation for the next life. The next life is, God willing, us living together forever in heaven, in the presence of God, living the life of God as a community of the saved, of the elect. And that's meant to start right now. When I think of heaven, I don't think of houses because of the fact that the reason why we have houses here below is to satisfy the, to take care of our bodies effectively, to shelter us from the rain. And we have like kitchens in order to prepare food, dining rooms to eat food. We have bathrooms to take a shower, cleanse our body, bedrooms, to places to sleep. But when this life is over, we won't need all those things. We won't need houses to shelter us from the rain. There's not going to be any rain. We don't need to eat. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to do any of those things. And the reason I say that is just like, I just think of us as just hanging out in the presence of God. We're just going to be with one another, enjoying the beatific vision of God and enjoying one another's company. That's what it's going to be. Here in this life, it's meant to be something similar, not exactly the same thing, but something similar. So how do you know if you're being like a Home Depot Catholic or if you have the true Catholic spirit? I just want to give some questions to make a little examination of conscience, just so we can make sure that we have a truly Catholic spirit. Who are my closest friends in this life? Who am I sharing my life with? With whom are my children sharing their lives? Do we and they have Catholic friends? Or do we have other friends? Do I know the people who go to my church? Do I hang out with them at all? Have I been over to their house? Have they been over to my house? Do I know the priest at my parish? When's the last time I had a conversation with Father Robinson or Father McBride or Father Fulton? When's the last time I had a priest over my house? Have you ever met the priest? Perhaps there's some people here I've never even met, even though I've been here 4.5 years. Are my priests fathers to me, or are they just dispensers of the sacraments? Is it just a purely professional relationship? Have I ever asked them advice about difficult decisions that I have to make in my life? Or do I just make all the decisions on my own? How many parish events have I been to in the past year? How often do I stay after Mass on a Sunday to talk to people, just to hang out? Am I a member of any of the many groups that exist in the parish? Or do I not have any membership? What role have I played in my parish life in this past year beyond putting money in the collection basket? Do I make an effort to put my children in the school so that they will associate with Catholics on a regular basis? And so when they become adults, they will want to associate with Catholics. Are my children growing up and wanting to be around Catholics? Do they find it that they gravitate towards Catholics, or do they find themselves more comfortable in secular company, people who are not Catholics, just people in the world? What kind of people do they gravitate to when they decide to date, to court, to find a spouse? Are they more likely to date a Catholic or just some random person that they might meet out there? Are my children wanting to get married but finding it difficult to do so because they don't feel connected to a community? Do they have that strong Catholic identity? Do I expect that they will get that identity somehow from coming to Sunday Mass alone and then saying some prayers at home? Do I send my children to boys' camp or girls' camp during the summer? Do I enroll them in the Scouts and the Eucharist Crusade and the Maids of Mary and so on, all of these groups for the youth? A shinde, do I go to a shinde events? Have I ever traveled to go to a Catholic event outside of Denver, like a retreat or a pilgrimage, even overseas, or to attend a Catholic conference? My dear faithful, your Catholic life is meant to be the very core of your life. It's supposed to dominate your life because we're here to save our souls, and the way we do that is by living that life. And your parish is meant to be the heart of that. We are meant to form a community. We are meant to share our lives with one another, and then after this life is over, share them forever in heaven. And I want to say, especially for the young couples, the couples who get married, just starting their family, it's normal for young couples perhaps move around a bit when they first get married. They start having children. Their children are still young. But they must have this desire and this ideal in their mind that we are going to ultimately settle somewhere. We're going to move somewhere. We're going to settle down. We're going to live the rest of our lives there. We're going to integrate ourselves into a community in our children and so on. And that's where we're going to live our lives, and we're going to associate with those people. That must be their ideal. Your children need that, and you need that in order to live a fully Catholic life. How many people complain about the situation in the world, in the church today? They look at the world, say it's going to hell in a handbasket. We have all this craziness going on, bad economy, transgenderism, homosexuality, wars going on. And it's true. It's true. We lament that we notice the problems. We lament the problems. But it's easy to find problems. That's the easy part. The hard part is to find real solutions. And the real solution to today's problems is the Catholic community. That's the real, that's the means for you to have everything that you need in this life. Integrate yourself into a Catholic community. That's the solution. You just can't do this by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Salvation is about living as part of a family of those who possess the life of Christ. So we have to strive hard not to live that individualistic Catholic life, the one that looks at religion in a Protestant way. We're not just here to receive the sacraments. We're here to associate with one another. These people are meant to be part of your life, and so that we can live truly, we can live that reality of the mystical body. We're here to build a Catholic community and save our souls together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.